Why should we believe the Bible is a special book, a reliable book, a true book, a book that's come from God? What is the evidence for that? We claim that to be true. We preach that as true. But is there evidence that would support that claim that the Bible truly is the Word of God? Well, today I want to ask that question. That's an important question. Because I believe, here's what I believe about the Bible. I believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. I believe the Bible is true in all of its content. I believe the Bible from the book of Genesis to the maps in the back. I believe the Bible. And I've always trusted the Bible, and I proclaim the Bible. Now, there's a lot in the Bible I don't understand. I've studied the Bible almost all of my adult life since I have become a Christian. And there's a lot of the Bible that I don't understand. In fact, here's what I've discovered. The more I understand about the Bible, the more I realize how little I really understand about the Word of God. I mean, it's a giant thing to try to understand all that there is to know about the Word of God. But by faith, I believe what the Bible says about itself is true. But it goes beyond faith. There is evidence that the Bible truly is the Word of God, and that's what I want to look at today. Hebrews 4:12, the writer of Hebrews says this, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So what should we believe about the Bible? Well, first of all, let's look at the claim that the Bible makes for itself. The Bible is a book that makes some pretty big claims about itself. And here's the biggest claim that the Bible makes about itself. The Bible claims to be a book that is not just written by men. Now, I have a lot of books in my library. I have a lot of books sitting in boxes at the moment in storage since we have moved. I've got a lot of books. I love reading. I think one of the ways to keep your mind sharper as you get a little older is to read, and I love reading, and I read all kinds of materials, all kinds of books. There are all kinds of books. I don't know how many has ever been written, but it's an astronomical number, as we know. But here's what the Bible claims, that it is a unique book among all other books. The Bible claims for itself this, that it is different and unique from every other book that has ever been written. And the uniqueness is this. The Bible claims to be not just another book written by men, but the Bible claims that it is the inspired Word of God, uniquely inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16, here's what the Apostle Paul says about the Word of God, about the Bible. Paul wrote, "All Scripture." Now, when he says all Scripture, that means Old Testament and New Testament. "All Scripture," Paul wrote, "is given by inspiration of God." Now, the phrase "inspiration of God" comes from two words in the original language that literally translates to this, that the Word of God, all Scripture, is God-breathed, that God inspired the Bible, that God breathed out the Bible. He did it through the agency of men who wrote the Bible, but here's what the Bible claims for itself, that God is the ultimate author of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. So what does it mean when the Bible claims for itself that it is a God-breathed book? Well, one of the best ways to understand the Bible is to let the Bible interpret itself and use the Bible to interpret what the Bible has to say. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, here's this verse, these verses help us to understand what it means when the Bible claims that it is a God-breathed book. "Knowing this first," Peter wrote, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, what that means is this: you can't make the Bible mean what you want it to mean. The Bible has its own meaning. You can't read the Bible and say, well, I think the Bible means this, and therefore the Bible means this because that's what I think it. In other words, what Peter is saying is the Bible means what the Bible means, and you can't make it mean something other than what it means. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke, and the writers of the Bible wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And so what does it mean that the Bible is a God-breathed book? Here's what it means. Peter is saying this: as the men who wrote the Bible were writing the Bible, were writing what would be included in the Bible, when they were writing that, they were being moved, guided, directed by the Holy Spirit of God, so that what they wrote, when they wrote what they wrote that would be included in the Bible, God directed them to write what they wrote. The writers of the Bible wrote the words that would be included in the Bible as the Holy Spirit of God moved them. In other words, God is the ultimate author of the Bible. The Bible is God's word. Now, God used men to write the Bible, but God moved those men and directed those men to write what He wanted them to write. And therefore, as they were writing the Bible, they were writing God's word. No other book can make the claim that it is inspired by God like the Bible is inspired by God. And so here's what the Bible claims for itself. The Bible claims that it is the inspired word of God. In other words, when you pick up your Bible, you're picking up a special book, a unique book, a treasure chest, something that has come from God Himself. And so there's no other book like the Bible. I love to go into bookstores. You know, when Miss Iris is at the fabric store, I go to the bookstore if I can. And I love to go to the bookstores and just look around. Bookstores are becoming a thing of the past. You know, everything's digital now, everything's online. But invariably, if you go into a secular bookstore, not a Christian bookstore, but a secular bookstore, they have a section of the bookstore called, you know, religious section. And in the religious section, you'll find religious, quote, religious books of all kinds, talking about not just Christianity, but all kinds of different faiths. And because the Bible is a best-selling book, even secular bookstores always have a section where they sell Bibles and present Bibles and have Bibles there that you might want to look at and you might want to purchase. And every time I go to that section, and I'm a sucker for a Bible. You know, there's two things I'm a sucker for. That's a tie, which I'm not wearing today, and that's a Bible. I love a Bible, and I've got all kinds of Bibles in my library. And I always think when I go to the section of the secular bookstore where all these Bibles are lined up on the shelf, you know, and mixed in with all these other books, I always think to myself, you know, this book belongs on a shelf all by itself. It don't need to be mixed up with any other kind of religious book, because the Bible is a special book. It is a unique book. There's no other book like the Bible. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God. God, even though He used human beings, God is the ultimate author of the Bible. Sometimes I have people tell me, I wish God would speak to me. I wish I could hear the voice of God. And if I have a Bible available, I'll pick it up and say, you want to hear the voice of God? Then read your Bible. Because in the pages of the Bible, God is speaking. Now, that's a pretty big claim to make, that the Bible is the Word of God like no other book. So is there evidence to support that claim in the Bible? Well, let me share with you some evidences that supports the claim that the Bible is the uniquely inspired Word of God. Here's the first evidence, and that is the unity of the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. We call them books. And those 66 books were written over a period of 1,500 years, 15 different centuries, by 40 different human authors on three different continents in three different original languages. The human authors of the Bible came from different walks of life. Some were kings, some were fishermen, some were farmers, some were shepherds, some were prophets, some were priests, and there were other walks of life. The human authors of the Bible lived in different cultures. They lived under different governments. They lived in different circumstances. They lived in different times. And despite all of that, despite that these 66 books were written over a period of 15 centuries by 40 different authors, all in different circumstances and situations, the amazing thing is this: despite all of that, the Bible has a common theme. The Bible has a common storyline. The Bible has a common message. There is an amazing unity to the Bible. The Bible has one unifying message. And the one unifying message of the Bible is the message of salvation. Salvation is what the Bible is all about. The Old Testament tells us that God created all that there is. And then it tells us how man failed and how sin infected all mankind. And then how God came and he promised that he would bring a Savior to save us all from the penalty and the power of sin. The New Testament tells us the story of that Savior. Tells us the story of Jesus, the Son of God, who provided salvation from the penalty of sin by his death on the cross and his resurrection. People in the Old Testament were saved by looking forward to the cross. People in the New Testament, people today, are saved by looking back at the cross of Christ and believing in Jesus. There is an amazing unity to the Bible. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Revelation is the book of ending. Between Genesis and Revelation, there's 1,500 years. And yet in between those bookends and all throughout the Bible, you'll find a common theme. You'll find amazing unity. It is the unity of the Bible. That's one of the evidences. No other book, unless it's an inspired book, written under such circumstances by such divergent human authors, no other book could have such unity if it were not the inspired Word of God. Here's the second evidence that the Bible is the Word of God, and that's the reliability of the Bible. The Bible is not a science book, but the Bible does speak on science. And when it does speak on scientific things, what it says is true. The Bible's not a history book, but it does speak about history. And when it does, what the Bible says about history has proven always to be true. On whatever subject the Bible speaks on, it always speaks the truth. What the Bible says on any subject that it speaks on, though it has been often scoffed at, contested, dismissed, ridiculed, and laughed at by the elite of this world, what the Bible says on any subject that it speaks on has ultimately proven to be reliable and true. Numerous scientific, historical, biological, and astronomical truths have been revealed in the Bible long before they were discovered by and confirmed by the science of this world. You know, for centuries, scientists believed that the earth was flat. That was the common knowledge. That was the common belief, that the earth was flat. Ancient scientists believed that. They even had the evidences that they presented that that was true. But you know what? All they had to do was read Isaiah 40:22 to know that the earth was round. Isaiah 40:22, it is he, God, who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. The Bible is a reliable book. On any subject the Bible speaks on, it always tells the truth. The reliability of the Bible is another evidence that the Bible truly is the Word of God. It's never wrong on anything that it says. And it's not wrong on creation. You know, I've studied evolution. Evolution is Satan's lie. The truth about evolution is this: there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that evolution is true. It is not true. And all of the so-called evidence that supports evolution is concocted false science. And those people who are true scientists will admit that, though they won't, because they will be rejected by the world. Creation is true. There came a time when God created time and space, when he spoke, and he created all that there is. The Bible tells us where the world came from. And the Bible is telling us where the world's going to go. And so the Bible claims that it's the inspired Word of God. Well, what is the evidence for that? The unity of the Bible, the amazing unity of the Bible, the reliability of the Bible. Let me share with you another evidence, and that's the prophecies of the Bible. Someone has estimated, now I didn't sit down and count all these, but someone has estimated that there are approximately 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. Now, what's a prophecy? A prophecy is saying that something's going to happen before it happens. Describing some event, something that's going to happen before it happens. You know, yesterday I was a prophet. I got up yesterday morning and I said, Georgia is going to destroy Arkansas in football. And it came to pass. Now, there have been times when I have not been such a good prophet, but I have made predictions and they have not come true. But a prophecy is stating that something's going to happen before it happens in the Bible. And see, this can't be found in any other religious book. You'll not find fulfilled prophecies in the Quran. You'll not find fulfilled prophecies in any other so-called sacred book, holy book, religious book of any other faith. And so the Bible estimates, or it is estimated there are 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. 2,000 of those prophecies have already been fulfilled. There are about 500 yet to be fulfilled. And you and I are living in the midst of the fulfillment, I think, of many of those. The most amazing prophecies in the Bible, for instance, just one area of prophecy has to do with the birth, life, resurrection, second coming of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel predicted the year that Jesus would be born. We'll look at that prophecy sometime. The Old Testament predicted that Jesus would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. All of this is in the Old Testament, centuries before it happened. The Old Testament predicted that Jesus would live in Nazareth of Galilee, that he would do miracles, that he would be rejected by the Jewish people, that he would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. That's in the Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament prophesied that Jesus would die on the cross, that he would be buried in the borrowed tomb of a man of wealth, that he would rise again, that he would ascend to heaven, and that he would come again. Now, I'm not a math guy. You know, my grandchildren are homeschooled. They're smarter now than I've ever been in my life. And they're just smart. And my grandson was showing me some of the math. He's in the eighth grade, showing me some of the math that he does. Now, see, I was okay in math until they started adding the alphabet to math. And so I looked and I said, well, A what? You put an A beside a 4 and an 8? And so I'm not a mathematical wizard. When it comes to math, a lot of times I let other people do my figuring. It's amazing what you can ask Siri. I hope she didn't answer. But you know, I'll be trying to figure out something and I'll ask her, can you tell me what so-and-so times so-and-so is? And it's amazing, that girl knows it all. I mean, she'll come back just like that. Now, I'm not a math wizard, but I depend on others. Listen, there are 48 Old Testament prophecies concerning the first coming of Jesus Christ. Someone has calculated that the mathematical probability of one man just fulfilling 8 of those prophecies, one man fulfilling just 8 of the 48 prophecies, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, what is that? That's 1 in 100,000 trillion. You know, trillion used to be a big number until our government started making it like everything, you know, everyday thing. Imagine that. One man fulfilling just 8 of those prophecies, the mathematical probability, 1 in 100,000 trillion. The prophetic record of the Bible is another reason to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now, 2,000 of those prophecies have already been fulfilled. That would be like a quarterback throwing 2,000 game-time passes without one mistake, one incompletion, and one interception. The Bible's record of fulfilled prophecies to this point is absolute without a miss. Now, why is that? Why is that true of the Bible? Well, it's true of the Bible because this is true of the Bible. It is the Word of God. The Bible is a book that has come to us by God. He moved those men who wrote the Bible to write what they wrote so that when you pick up a Bible which is a legitimate translation of the Bible, you can know for sure that what you have in your hand is a special, unique book that is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. There's another evidence to support the fact, the claim that the Bible is the Word of God, and that's the sustainability of the Bible. The Bible has withstood the test of time, scrutiny, and centuries of attack. No book in human history has been attacked like the Bible has been attacked. For centuries, critics and skeptics and earthly powers and people have tried to destroy the Bible. Since the Garden of Eden, the devil has been trying to use his forces and the people he controls to attack the Word of God, and it's intensifying to this day. Now, if the Bible were a book of just a human origin, it would have long ago been discarded and gone out of circulation. But here's the truth. Year in and year out, the Bible is the best-selling book in the world. And the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. The Bible has over 5 billion copies sold to date. Though the Bible has been attacked like no other book, the Bible still stands. The Bible is still here. Here's what 1 Peter 1:25 says, "The word of the Lord endures forever." Sometimes you hear those dire predictions that Christianity is dying, the church is dying, and the Bible is dying. Don't you believe it? God is in charge. God is in control. There may be a chipping away of those who are really not part of the faith, those who are just Christians in name only, and there may be attacks intensifying against our faith and against the church and against the Bible, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The Bible will be here long after those who predicts its demise are long gone. No matter how it is attacked, the Word of God will not be defeated. It will not be destroyed. The Word of God will stand forever. If it was any other book, if it was a book of human origin only, the Bible would have been long discarded. Here's another evidence of the fact that the Bible is what it claims to be, the inspired Word of God, and that's the power of the Bible, the effect of the Bible. No other book has affected the course of human history for good like the Bible. Historians will tell you this, if they're honest historians, they will tell you this, if you take the Bible away, if you unplug the Bible from history, what has happened in this world in history since the time of the Bible would be awfully affected and different from what it is now. You take the Bible out of history, out of human history, and you have a completely different history of mankind. No other book has affected the course of human history for good like the Bible. But that's history. But there's also something about the Bible that is personal. Throughout history, God has used the Bible to change the lives and the eternal destiny of multitudes of people. You can talk about the big scope of history, but also there's a personal effect of the Bible. God has used this book, the words of His book, throughout the centuries to change the lives and the course and the eternal destiny of multitudes of people, and I'm one of those people. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, getting way down inside of us, and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Because the Bible is the inspired word of God, it is a living book. It's a book alive with the presence and power of God. It is a powerful book. It is a life-changing book. Here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. When you pick up a Bible and you begin to read it, you will find out as you read the Bible that the Bible is reading you. God will use the Bible to get way down inside of who you are. God will use the Bible to expose the truth about who you really are. God will use His Word to confront you. And God will use His Word to convict you. God will use His Word to challenge you. You say, as you're reading the Bible, the Bible's a living book, and the Bible's reading you. God will use the Bible to draw you to Himself. God will use the Bible to comfort you. God will use the Bible to encourage you. God will use the Bible to bless you. God will use the Bible to reach you. Throughout history, God has used His Word to reach into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, and to connect them with God and to help them to understand that there is a God who loves them, a God who cares for them, a God who wants the best for them, a God who has provided their greatest need, and that is the need of salvation from their sin, a God who is a God of grace and mercy. And so the Bible is a life-changing book. I love the Gideon ministry. I love to hear the testimonies of the Gideons, and you know, that's a great ministry of placing Bibles. And the Gideon Bibles are still around. We were in a motel recently, and you know, sometimes you can't find Gideon Bibles. Open the drawer, and there it was. Praise God. It was a new Gideon Bible, too. And praise God. But invariably, you'll hear when the Gideons come and they share about their ministry, they'll stand up and they'll talk about somebody who was in a jail or somebody who was in a hospital or somebody who was in this place and that place, and they were having a hard time and maybe thinking about harming themselves or whatever, and their life was deep and in despair, and they'll find a Gideon Bible, begin to read it, and God will speak to them through His Word and open their eyes and their hearts and help them to understand that there's a God who loves them. The Bible's a very personal book. There's a God who loves them, and God who cares for them, and a God who's provided for them, and a God who wants to save them, and a God who wants to change their life. Yeah, the Bible's a powerful book. It's changed the course of history, but it's also changed the course of many lives. Because God changes the course of history one person at a time. So understand this, unlike any other book, when you pick up the Bible and you begin to read it, the Bible begins to read you. And God will begin to speak to you through the pages of His Word. Many years ago, when I was a pastor in Ramburn, Alabama, I came to the conviction that I had never read the Bible through in a coordinated way, in a systematic way. That I had read the Bible through, I'm sure, in a sporadic way, but I never had started just reading the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation in a systematic way. I came to that conviction, and I said, well, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to try to read it through in a year. A couple of months ago, I completed reading the Bible through for the 28th time. I read it through, and I start all over again. And here's the amazing thing, and I'm not saying that to brag, because when Jeopardy has the Bible categories on Jeopardy, I never get them right. Those other folks always get them before I can get them. So I'm not saying that. And as I told you, the more I understand about the Bible, the more I realize how little I know about the Bible. Well, what a great blessing it has been to me. And God will speak to me, and I'll see things I've never seen before, and God will speak to me, and He will convict me, and He will confront me, and when I need comfort, He will comfort me, and He will bless me, and He will speak to me through the pages of His Word. The Bible is big in its scope of changing the world. The Bible is a personal book that'll change your life. So why do we believe the Bible's the Word of God? The amazing unity of the Bible. The reliability of the Bible. Its word is truth. The prophecies of the Bible. The strength, the sustainability of the Bible. The power of the Bible. The Bible was instrumental in leading you to Christ. If you're a Christian, you might have been saved listening to a sermon. Well, the preacher was preaching from the Bible. Somebody may have shared scripture with you. Well, they shared the Word of God with you. Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. In other words, the written Word of God was written in order to lead us to the living Word of God. And that's the purpose of the Bible, to bring us to Jesus, to help us to understand who He is and the love of God and what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you today, if you're not a Christian, today's a good day to be saved. Isn't it a good day to be saved? October 3rd, 2021. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, never received Him as your Lord and Savior, today will be a good day to be saved, to give your life to Jesus. You say, how do I do that? Well, the Bible's very clear on that. You got to be honest with God. You know, you can't fake being a Christian. You can't make up stuff. God reads our hearts. He knows our hearts. You can't just go through the motions and say things you don't really mean and expect God to save you on the basis of you're saying stuff you don't really mean. How do I give my life to Christ? First of all, you got to confess you're a sinner. And you say, well, I won't do that. Well, I'm a sinner too. In fact, everybody here's a sinner. In fact, I got news for you. We talk about a pandemic affecting the world. Well, there's a pandemic of sin, and it's affected all of us. We're all sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to come to God, you just got to admit that. But Lord, I've broken Your laws and Your commands, and I've done stuff You don't want me to do, and I've done stuff I know You that is not right, and I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. And it doesn't make me feel good, and it doesn't make me feel right, and I know that it puts me on the outs with You, but I don't want to be on the outs with You. I want to be right with You. And so I confess I'm a sinner. I confess it all. And I ask You to forgive me, and I believe on Jesus. I don't understand it, but I believe that Jesus died for me when He died on that cross. My sins were on His shoulders. He took my sin upon Himself. He took my place, and He died for me. And I believe that with all of my heart. And because of what Jesus has done, I ask you to take what He has done and apply it to me and forgive me of my sin. And today I receive Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's what I did when I gave my life to Christ. And it'll change your life. Doesn't mean you'll have a trouble-free life. In fact, For a lot of Christians, when you give your life to Christ, you get into new trouble. You leave the old trouble, you get in the new trouble. But the fact is this, that God will be with you in the trouble. And He will bless you, and He'll help you, and He'll see you through everything, and He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll give you joy and peace, and when you die, He'll give you a home in heaven. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to give your life to Christ today. And as a Christian, I would encourage you, let Dr. Hall speak to you. Okay, I'm Dr. Hall. Here's my daily prescription. Read the Word of God. Read it and let it bless you. Study it, read it, follow it, obey it. God will speak to you through His Word, and He will give you encouragement. I mentioned the Gideon ministry. You know, I have Gideon Bibles in my library, and I didn't steal them from anywhere. You know, we go to yard sales, and we'll go to the Goodwill store, and I see a Gideon Bible, and they have it for sale. They ought not to be selling it, but I'll buy it for a quarter or whatever. But you know, they put in the back of their Bibles this narrative about the Bible. And I close with this. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true, and its decisions are unchangeable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass. It is the soldier's sword, and it is the Christian's charter. Here in the Bible, paradise is restored. Heaven is opened. The gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is the design of the Bible, and the glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened at your judgment, and it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. There is no other book like the Bible.